Díaz Parques. Díaz Parques.
Hi, everybody.
Boo! What a lame intro.
Okay, I tried. Go up, throwing it back to you, Angel.
You're like, well, I give up.
That was my effort.
Try again. One more time. Go. This time with some gusto.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Us Podcast. I'm Chris, your host.
A podcast about us?
It's all of us, bro.
Woohoo! Chris, the host, and me.
The host.
With the most. Angel Salinas.
There you go.
Hi.
How's it going, everybody?
What's up?
You I didn't did say it! Guys!
Chris!
What the?
Chris has been assimilated.
I've been assimilated.
Yes! All you...
I'm there.
All you PC folks, take a...
Yeah, take a step back, Angel. Step back.
I'm peeking.
Take a step back.
Nah. All you PC folks out there, be proud of this moment. Because Chris, the least PC person I know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, that's not true.
There's worse.
There's a couple of people I can think of. But Chris is pretty up there. He just changed.
Mm-hmm.
For the better, I think.
It just feels
How do you
right.
feel?
It's weird, but it feels nice. You know what it is? It feels like I'm not... Now it just feels natural. You know what I'm saying? Like, before, I had such a resistance to it, but now that we talked about it and...
Now it's just ingrained.
Now I'm just becoming pussified. That's what it is.
Wow, okay.
I'm gonna
sidestep that statement and continue.
Woo!
It only took... 17? It only took 17 episodes, but...
Near the end of the season.
Chris is here. Oh, I know. I guess we'll let you know. 20 episodes is going to be the end of this season.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. Because
okay.
I don't think we had... We tried to talk about it in the PC episode.
Yeah,
where we said... Because you said, we're more than halfway there. I'm like, what does that mean?
And then we
talked about something else.
I was like, are you fake?
So we're going to end this whole shebang on
20 episodes.
Yeah.
And we're almost there, folks.
Can you believe that it's
I can't believe we did it. Like,
I just texted you today about how, like, I was genuinely not concerned, but I was a little precautious when you had said, oh, I'm moving to Northridge.
I know you did. You were like, oh, I guess fuck the podcast.
I know,
huh?
Like, even fuck this podcast that we just started.
Yeah, Chris was so like...
That I bought all these mics for.
Yeah, Chris was like, there's no way we're going to do it now. You're gone. You're 35 miles away. That's like, might as well be in Kansas.
I didn't say that. I just knew that it was going to be a challenge. So.
Yeah. It's definitely been a challenge.
Yeah.
All that gas, all those miles.
All that road.
It's been brooding. Yeah, all that road. All that heat. All that food. I'm just kidding.
All that base.
There you go. And but we've done it so far, and it looks like we're on that home stretch.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of pretty special episodes for the last three, which
right.
we're not gonna even mention right now.
Right.
But they're coming.
Yeah.
Now they're gonna be dope.
Can we at the end of our discussion, can we throw it to the audience for any ideas for what they'd like for the last one? Because we have ideas for the 20th episode, but
I'd kind of like
to see what they
feel
want?
Like by the time this comes out,
oh,
we would have
sure.
recorded
yeah, we
it
already.
Already.
Yeah. So fuck you guys.
Oh, we're keeping that in.
Yeah.
But
that's my soundbite.
Yeah. In this whole time that we've been doing this podcast,
mm-hmm.
we've lost some friends, but also made some new friends.
Hey,
and
okay, that's true.
And that segues us into today's discussion, which y'all already know, friendship. To quote the Chicano Batman song, friendship is a small boat in a storm. Parentheses is a small boat in a storm.
And to quote SpongeBob, F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
N is for anyone, anytime at all.
Uh huh. Down here in the Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
I knew it.
That was weird. Okay, anyway.
I know. Why'd you sing the whole song?
Cause I'm feeling weird right now. Is it? Do you feel weird? I feel weird right now.
Why?
I don't know. I've had this weird feeling in my stomach. Oh, and also we have a guest here.
All of today?
Just chilling in the background.
Yeah, but she's not going to speak.
No, she won't.
She's and you won't even know who it is.
Yeah, we won't tell you.
We're not even going to tell you, but there's someone here.
But she's a huge actress. She's like...
Humongous.
Major.
Rhymes with... Velma Bayek?
Like, maybe? I know where you're going.
Rhymes, like, we just make up... Rhymes with... Bofia Nirvana.
Jalapeny Bruise?
I don't know who that is.
Penelope Cruz.
Oh. Jalapeny? You make up two words? Jalapeny?
Great.
Great. Fantastic.
We're supposed to be talking about Friends.
Anyway. Well, you know what? can this episode just be us thinking of ways to intro the episode and just never get to the topic? And we're just like, friendship. That's how we should have started it.
That's going to be such... Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
We tried.
Fuck it. Let's do it right now.
So we thought we'd be friends for a very long time, yeah. But in the end, you were fucking stabbed me in the back. I fucking hate you and your family. Can you go dying, living at Albany?
I'll be there for you.
Cause you're
but,
there for
but you weren't there for me.
Dude, this is so weird.
Like, oh my god. Okay.
Okay.
Topic. Let's really do it.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm gonna be peeking this whole fucking time.
You are.
Look
here.
Nah, I'm cool.
Okay.
I'm chilling. All right. Chris is the one that suggested we talk about friendship.
Yes,
so
I did.
I think it's only natural for Chris to start us off. What's so important about friendship to you?
I noticed that when I've read, have conversations with one of my old best friends, a former best friend, I'll say.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm dropping that.
Yeah.
I referenced him a lot in the show.
Friendship ended.
Canceled. on a serious note, it has. I believe it's run its course. And I will speak openly about it because, you know, why the fuck not? This is our platform.
Yeah.
But I've referenced him a lot. And he was a very big part of my. And for those who know me close, they know who I'm talking about. I won't put the embarrassing.
Yeah, just read Chris's. Read Chris's Wikipedia article. You'll know who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Check my YouTube video. You'll be any of my YouTube videos. You'll be able to make out who I'm talking about.
Damn,
if you follow.
But we
of
ain't
that.
Gonna say it.
We gonna say no names. We naming no names. But that friendship this year, like it had kind
it
of
happened
been rocky.
This year.
It had been rocky. It got really rocky last year, and it was actually during the McGregor Mayweather fight.
Damn, y'all
That was the first time like me and him ever like screamed at each other.
So symbolic.
I know, right? It was the pre-match before the match itself.
Wow.
No, yeah, it was a miscommunication
screamed
thing.
Screamed at each other
in this room. We've never like we've kind of given each other attitude. You know, like friends are like, hey, don't fucking talk about shit like that. But we were screaming, and my dad was right here in the middle of it.
In the middle of it?
And of course, my dad. I don't know why he fucking even got involved, but he was just like getting on he was getting on his side, and I was like, come on, Pops, like, you're my dad, you know, I'm like, be on my side, and
be in
like,
my corner, come
like,
on,
like, I don't know, I've known you since you two were little kids, you know, I couldn't pick a side, like, oh, no, yeah, don't pick your son's side, yeah, please be neutral, my dad, so that's, I think when that happened, it's what, you know, when you hear about how people say, whenever you argue with someone, like, sometimes they'll say something really bad, and no matter how many times you apologize, you cannot take that back. You ever hear that? Like, you can't, like, that's very much what this was.
So things were said, and friendship was forever changed.
It was, things were said, oh, fuck. Yeah, things were said. I was going to say, like, no, like, nothing terrible, but.
Some terrible shit?
Yeah, things were said. Things were said, and after that,
on both sides, both you and him?
Yeah. I don't remember for him, but I definitely for me, if you can imagine.
Did you mean everything you said?
Yeah, dude, it was stuff that, like, I had been kind of, like, either holding back from him completely or kind of giving him like the
isn't that,
dancing around version of it.
Isn't that strange? Like, how we're friends with someone for so long, and then like one day you just snap and you let out all this like negative shit that you've been holding back, and you're like, wow, I've had this inside me this whole time, and we've been friends. Like, how does that even happen?
I think it's just a lot of it is just, you know, you don't want to disrespect them because, first of all, they're your friends, and like you want to be very precautious of like, but it's that's another thing too. I feel like, and I did this a lot with other people, you sort of have, it's almost, you have this where like it's like an unconscious, I have a storage of shit I could say to you like the day that you ever like cross me, or like if you ever like, it's not even that you do it maliciously, it's just like your mind just kind of like, I'll save that one for a rainy day.
I don't think I'll save things, but I'm always just like, damn, if I wanted to, I can just screenshot this shit right now and like your ass is fucking done.
But oh, so blackmail.
I'm saying I don't do it. I'm saying like, cause
no, I hear what you're saying.
Like you know, like you know, and as well as everyone in Southeast LA knows, people in Southeast LA and some Latinos in general are kind of problematic, and they say some problematic shit sometimes.
Yep.
And you'll be texting or messaging someone, and they'll just say some fucking outlandish shit, and you're like, you're my friend, so I'm not gonna blow up, but like, what the fuck? Why'd you say that? And sometimes I'll be like, how can you? Why do you feel like you can say that? And they'll just be like, who cares? Like, it's just you.
It's so funny, you as you said that, I wonder, I think, like, well, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but, I mean, everybody's got their own priorities. Like, for me, I hear so many people, and I say it's problematic stuff, too, but I never think of it as, it's more like, it's more things that, that I just know aren't, that they're doing that aren't good for them. Not necessarily, like, drugs or whatever, but just like normal things, like you're relying on this person too much, or, like, you're clearly doing this because you don't want to be, whatever. Shut up,
you don't know me!
Exactly, but yeah, so that friendship kind of like, that's kind of where like was that was the crescendo, and like that was kind of where things went, yeah, it's all downhill from here mainly.
So did y'all still kick it after that moment?
So after that was close to the end, near the end of the year, so that for the rest of the year I did not talk to him. But when the big event in my life happened that we've gone over and I don't need to repeat,
go back to the last 16 episodes.
Yeah, I didn't know who else to call. And so I hit him up, and I will say I am grateful that he was nice enough to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, dude, like I think she's gonna leave. And then he's like, come over. And we went, we walked around and shit, and like for that I was grateful for that a lot. And and then I felt like I owed him. I'm like, you know what, whatever problems we had with you and whoever, like I'm willing to put that away because you like answered my call. Mm-hmm. Like that was big of you. And so I thought our friendship was kind of on the come up after that. I thought, like, okay, like, this is good. Like, you know, like...
So we had a rough patch. We had our speed bumps, but now now the roller coaster's coming back. Yeah,
and then something else happened this year that just showed me, like, you know, why I like being friends with you, Jonathan Justin Jimenez.
Oh.
Oh, I thought... Shouts out.
Me. Like, me, you're talking to me.
Yeah, you.
Oh.
It's because I know if you ever heard shit or if you saw shit that was like, I guess for the lack of a better term, like, was sort of against me, you wouldn't be quote unquote neutral about it. You'd be like, hey, don't fucking say that about, or don't do that because like, in my honor, without even me having to ask you, you know what I'm saying? Like, I believe so.
Like we would defend you.
Yeah.
If you weren't there.
Yeah. Like if I wasn't there to defend myself or even just my honor. And this is where my friend Pachardo comes into play.
Pachardo.
In this instance, he defended me to who was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's like, yo, man, he's like, we shouldn't be fucking, he's like, how could you, we can't be doing this shit, dog. He's like, why are you allowing that? And then my former best friend was just like, I'm neutral about it. And that's why I'm like, you know, I don't need neutral ass people in my life, so I'm gonna be neutral to you. And
you want to surround yourself with people that are gonna have your back.
Yeah.
When shit hits the fan, you know.
Yeah, and it's not even about what the situation. It's not even about the situation. It's just the intentions, like the fact that it didn't even like, it didn't. He didn't want to be bothered with. Ugh, I have to think about Chris's feelings here. It's just like I'd rather just not be. I'm friends with both of them, you know, that kind of thing.
What if me or another close friend of yours disagreed with something you did or said? Do you feel like we still owe you us defending you, or should we listen to what's in our hearts and be like, you know what, you're right, Chris did some fucked up shit. Like, what is, like, is, I guess, and this is a question mostly to try to define what you think of friends, like, loyalties lie, I guess, you know, like, because I wouldn't want to, I check you all the time.
Yeah.
So, I like, you already know, if you do some dumb shit, I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
But we've discussed already, like, our dynamics and stuff and our past experiences. And you know what it means when I say call out. It's not like block you on social media and ostracize you from the community. It's just like, hey, yo, I'm trying to get you to realize what you did is not cool. Let's work on it. But, like, I guess, what do you think of friends?
You're talking about, you're talking about beliefs. That, I think that's different. Like, if somebody said, I think Chris is a problematic person, and you were like, yeah, I agree, but I'm, you know, we're that's different. You know, I'm talking
give
more
me an
about,
example.
I'm talking more about, like, in honor of, I guess I'll just kind of say, like, to just be cool with the fact that, like, someone that I spent 4 years of my life with just showed up to wherever this group of friends were hanging out with another guy, and was like, "Oh, that's cool." And Pachar was like, "Nah, that's not fucking cool. I'm leaving."
I see.
And I feel kind of weird that I've just kind of brought that up, but I mean that cause I wanted you to kind of understand what I'm specifically talking. Okay. I won't get more into it, but that's essentially.
Yeah. I feel like that's a slippery slope because depending on the relationship with the person that brought the other person, like, it's like, where do your loyalties lie, with you or with the other person?
Right.
Like, who's...
Where do your loyalty lies with your best friend of the last 10 years or his girlfriend?
Yeah.
His ex-girlfriend.
Dang, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's I feel like if I was stuck in that situation...
Can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I even told, you know, when I heard about this, I even told my friend Pachardo, I said... You know, I would have been okay. Like, the fact that you're telling me says a lot about you. And even if you would have allowed it, I would have been okay. But the thing is that you willingly, even though we hadn't hung out in a little while, the fact that you still stood up to that situation and came to tell me directly about it, that speaks more volumes about your character
than this
other person. Because he's just going to, like, let it slide.
I would say definitely that. Like, that choice says a lot about who the person is.
Because here's the thing. I'm not going to be the one... I mean, who am I to... You know, you hang out with whoever the fuck you want, right? Mm-hmm. I would have... I even told my parent Pachardo this. I just would have appreciated even just, hey, man, like, what the... Are you going to allow this? And for, like, someone that was supposed to be my friend be like, yeah, I know it's kind of fucking whack, but, like, you know, she's friends with my girlfriend, so let's just let it happen, but it won't happen again. You know, at least that. At least, like, I know it's kind of fucked up, but let's, you know, something to show that there was, I don't know, like, a little bit of, like, at least, like, yeah, like, this is something that's, I think, you know.
I mean, I guess, so this is what I'll say. The ex-girlfriend should have known what they were getting into.
Yeah.
Like, going to this group of friends. But at the same time, and you might not agree with me on this, I don't think your friends owe you, like, checking on this person's behavior or whatever, and, like, reporting back. Like, I don't think they need to report back to you.
No, like, if she would have been out with anybody else, like, that's not what bothers me. It was the fact that they were just willing to just.
Is it because this your ex best friend didn't tell you that they showed up?
No, it's just the fact that he just let it slide when he knew that I
let what slide? Like, what? Okay, here's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. What were they supposed to do? Just be like, hey, you can't be here.
No,
like
no, that's the thing. I'm not saying to do that either. I would have just appreciated, like, even just like a slight aside to the person who did defend me to say, like, I know it's whack.
Like, it's weird, you know? Because, like, if you weren't together, like. Again, she could show up with whoever she wants. So why would this guy tell her to... Why would this guy say, hey, that's not cool? I don't know.
Because we're friends or, you know... I don't know. Because he knows... I guess he can... He knew... I mean, I think...
It's weird because...
He knew what kind of effect it had on me. And, like, dude, like... Were
you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Then... Okay, so I'm sorry. Like, I'd be like... I don't know. If you weren't... It's hard for me because we're talking in very, like, vague terms and, like, not mentioning people. Yeah. But I don't know. So you wouldn't – you. What do you think this person should have done?
my ex-friend?
Your ex-friend. Yeah. What would you like What would you have liked for him to do? Just so I can understand.
I've been saying, I just would have appreciated a little, like, I know, but, you know, we won't bring this around here. You know, like, obviously, you know, because they're friends with her. And so they can go out and do whatever the hell they want. That's fine. That's their right. I mean, they're humans. They can do whatever they want. But, I don't know. It felt, especially because he knew that I had a crush on her since middle school, and then when we got together in senior year, and like, it's like there's so much history. It's not just somebody that I was with in high school, and like that. It's such a, you knew how deep the roots ran.
It's hard, and
I get it. It's a weird thing, but I just appreciated that somebody stood up for me. That anybody stood. That's really what it. We don't have to dive this any more into this. It's just literally that I appreciated that somebody, without even me having to ask, just stood up for me, even if maybe they didn't necessarily have to. From what I'm hearing you're saying, like, I just the notion alone just made me feel like, all right, at least people fucking care. At least somebody cares about how I feel.
I just don't know what standing up for you means in the situation, I guess.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't know what they're defending you from, you know? Like, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. I don't, like, what is this dog doing?
She's sleeping.
That's her sleeping noise?
Yeah.
I don't want to wake her up.
Nah, she's a heavy sleeper.
Okay. No, I meant like, I want her to stop, but I don't want to wake her up.
Oh, Roast.
That's what I meant.
Go lay down.
Go to bed. Like, this is like when my nephews like sleep on the couch instead of their bed. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's continue. Again, I'll just repeat this. I don't know what defending you means. Like, I don't understand if this person was doing something to you, or just the fact that they were around your friends was an insult to you.
Like, yeah, because it's like you never were interested to be around them before. Why now?
Oh, so now, okay, so you're like, oh, now that we're done, all of a sudden they're your friends.
Yeah, how are you? Yeah, now you just want to slide into that.
Yeah, there's a funny episode of Seinfeld where George says this thing. It's like, well, now I can't be her friend anymore. And Jerry's like, why? It's like, it's breakup by association.
Yeah.
It's like, once your friend breaks up with a person, you have to break up with them.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Okay. Then I guess I get that now. It's just like,
yeah, because it wasn't that.
How could you do this to me? They're my friends.
Yeah, it wasn't that we were all chummy before. It was, you know, obviously me and my old best friend and his girlfriend, and we were all couple's friend, but they also happen to be friends with Pichardo and the guys that I would hang out with earlier in the year, and like when that like breach happened, you know, I was like, that's such a weird, like, why,
you know, putting myself in your shoes, like if I had like someone like that, and then I saw like Yuli, Moy, Christian, Brianda, and then them and another person hanging out, I'd be like, I'm like, what the hell?
There you go.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think we should feel that way. You know, like, I understand how you felt in that situation, but I think that just means that we need to grow.
Yeah, and it hurt me more in the moment. And talking about it now, it's just, I recall the feeling, so it just, like, that's why it kind of is, like, a little...
Yeah, I can tell.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Y'all don't see Chris, but he's like, he's as uncomfortable as I was in the relationship episode.
For real.
Just being like, I don't talk about this. Chris is usually an open book, and he's holding back.
Yeah, I am. I'm holding back a little bit. Why I decided to consider that pretty much like the final bullet to
nail in the coffin.
The nail in the coffin was just like, it was to me. It just said, okay, so what like do you care about, like? I don't know. You didn't bother to check up on me when I told you fucking 2 weeks after. Yeah, I'm over it, dude. I'm much better. You were like, okay. And you just accepted that. And that, I don't know. It feels like it didn't concern him to have to try anymore, because I don't know, for whatever he's this person's, you know, doing with their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There's just some, I honestly, I'm very bad at verbalizing my thoughts and feelings, but I just, really? there's something about how, I don't know, I just really appreciate the fact that somebody like Pichardo, somebody that I will say again and again that I've openly talked shit about, still to this day, yeah, a bunch of times before, but he still came to my defense and it just made me think, like, man, like,
how does he feel about you talking shit about him?
Oh, well, we've talked about it. It's just like he's like it was a lot of it was during the movie when I was making the movie, so I was like in a really bad place mentally there too. So he's like, I get it, dude. He's like, you were fucking making that. He's like, and you had shit to do. He's like, so you couldn't hang out all the time. And
did you say sorry?
Of course I said sorry, and I said like, dude, like I said I've never appreciated you more now, and like that's what I think it's important to talk about this friendship thing because. Something that I've done, I'm actively practicing these days too, is like, I don't like being two-faced with my friends. I noticed that sometimes, like, let's say if we're with you, right? Or yeah, if we're talking about, if we're just hanging out, mm-hmm. and then somebody brings up, it's like, hey, Angel does this, and I'd be like, I know he does this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and I noticed that I did that because I wanted to make the other person feel comfortable. And it's like my way of like, oh yeah, like I'm not gonna make you feel weird about talking about this, so we'll talk about like criticisms of like, let's say you or whatever, you know, and then vice versa, you know, like, oh, this person does this and blah blah blah. And so I'm like, you know, that's two-faced. And I realized, like, I don't do it maliciously. I just do it because, like, it's sort of my... Because for as big as I am or whatever, I can be really awkward. And so I look for ways, like, cheap little quick ways to connect with someone. Mm-hmm. And even if that has to be through talking shit about a mutual friend that I hang out with.
Oh.
Like, that's, like... I'm like, okay, I can do that. Like,
connecting it back to Seinfeld. It's like that episode where... George and Elaine are forced to hang out without Jerry, and the only way they could connect is by making fun of Jerry.
Yeah,
it's just like, have you ever seen him throw up?
Yeah,
like, and that's all they do, and that's the only way they could connect.
Yeah, so I'm working.
Continuing my connecting everything to Seinfeld, like this whole season of the Us podcast, mm-hmm. you'll see it sprinkled out throughout. Like, this is just going to be a commercial for Seinfeld. Like, you can connect your whole life to Seinfeld, as I've just shown twice in this episode alone and throughout the other episodes. So, if you ever thought of watching Seinfeld, just go and do it, because it's a mantra for life. Let's continue with our regular scheduled program.
Thank you for the ad. I hope we get some money.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm trying not to be. I'm actively working out, and now whenever I do kind of say something in criticism of somebody that I hang out with, I always preface it and I check in with myself. Would I say this to their face? Would I say this to their face? And I would say this to their face. Whatever. And it's true. I would. I really check in with myself. Like, would I say this to Jonathan Justin Mendez's face? Like, yes, I would. Would I say this to Angel's face? Yes, I would. You know.
And when you come to the conclusion that you wouldn't say it to our face, what do you do?
I don't talk about it. There's no reason for me to slander anybody when they're not there to defend themselves, or if maybe I'm just perceiving whatever.
But if you still have that criticism about that person, what do you do with that criticism?
I mean, it depends. It's usually mild. It's never like, dude, he just says the N-word so much. I don't know if I should bring it up.
Like, example. And Chris just wants to put it in his script. Like, I don't get it. Like, he just wants the guy to say it. And then this person's like, why? It's like, I don't know.
It's usually little things like, okay, like, I'll tell you. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, Angel complains a lot. But that doesn't affect me. You know, it's like, there's nothing really for me to add. So why would I, what's the point of me talking shit about that, you know? And well, so, you know, I'll give you a free throw. What's like one thing you'd...
No, I actually, that I was kind of like leading towards that. I was like, I want to know. Let's not name names, but I want to know, has anyone talked shit about me to you?
Shit?
Or just like, I guess, criticize.
No. I'm trying to think of
or
shit.
Or talk shit.
I'm going to call you fakers out. Nah. You know what? I'm close enough to you that I would have brought it up to you. Like, if it was something that's just, like, pure slander, I'd be like, Angel, they're saying this about you. I think you should know. This is...
Okay.
I heard this, yeah.
I would probably do the same. Luckily, the things people have said about you to me is stuff that we've already discussed.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I get the feeling that Chris thinks he's, like, the shit. And I'm like, I mean, I know how that can... I'm always like, I think this is like one of the first things we talked about. It's like,
I
can see how people think you're like this egomaniac.
Yeah.
But if you just like talk to this dude, you see it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what it is. I just like got. I just got used to how you are. That I know you don't.
Numb to it.
Yeah. I just got used to it. No, it's like I know. I guess it's because I know all your like insecurities and shit. Yeah. That I know that there's another side to your boastfulness. Like there's like a
he's just projecting.
It's a front. He's really insecure.
He hates himself,
yeah. And he has to put on that gold chain.
Like no, straight up.
Yeah, you
straight
said up, that.
Yeah,
you
that was that. What that was. That was what that yeah. was. That was like my like that. I needed that mm-hmm. for. That's why I don't wear it as often because I don't need it anymore. But mm-hmm. I needed that for my confidence. Yeah. It was a weird. That's why I took so many fucking selfies. We talked about. This. I know yeah. I took so many selfies and everything there. Like, and I don't need to anymore because I already built yeah. that confidence.
And you'd always be like, "Damn, I'm looking good today." And then I can tell how some yeah. people can be like, "Wow, Chris is so fucking egotistical," and I'm just like, "That's just his Instagram persona." Yeah. Like if you see him, he just like. In front of his computer all day.
You're like, you know, funny enough, the ex-best friend used to call me Computer Boy.
Wow. That's
some funny stuff. Yeah. I still live up to it still.
So it's like, it's things people don't realize
yeah, it's okay.
About. And it is okay because yeah. you don't owe it to anyone to like explain yourself, yeah. you know? Let them, and we've talked about how people will perceive us the way they're going to perceive us.
Yeah.
And we have to just be okay with who we are.
Uh-huh.
So no one's. Damn, this got deep, like out of nowhere,
dude. This has been deep. It just yeah, got like, deep for you, maybe, but I'm in this fucking hole.
Yeah,
and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, but people just have misconceptions about people all the fucking time, and they'll yeah. come, and for some reason they come to me instead of coming to you. They'll yeah. just be like, or
well, you don't go to directly yeah. to the source.
Well, I actually got like a second hand kind of thing. Like a friend told me that their friend told them. Something about you. Oh, I actually wanted an excuse to discuss this. Okay.
Great. Bring it up. Let's
talk,
hear it.
Yeah, let's I'm talk ready. About it.
Fucking so, kick me while I'm down, please.
Yeah. So in order for the audience to fully capture what we're about to talk about, Chris uploaded a video recently called Watch This Before You Watch Bad Labor. So do us a favor God. And go watch that video. Come back. And then you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Let me get some water.
All right. And we'll be right back with these after these messages. JK, we're not breaking yet.
Not yet. Okay, so what
yeah,
was it?
So y'all just came back from watching that video and mm-hmm. let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about
so
it.
So a friend of mine was like, "Hey, like a friend of mine came up to me and told me how they didn't like that video that we're talking about, Watch This Before Bad Labor, because they hate the fact that Chris is
that I'm taking the credit
that yeah that Chris is making himself out to be like this pioneer fucking road builder. This is the first this is the first installment of the new age, and I'm the one leading it. And this is just me exaggerating.
I understand. No way. I'm not like.
Yeah. He was like, Chris is just like,
what? You said you liked it.
Like, you said you were so moved. Yeah. What is this? But that's how they perceived it as like
I
yeah like where I'm not surprised. Pretty much I'm gonna embody this person real quick. Where does this guy Chris Carmona get off taking credit for like for paving the way for people? Like he's not paving the way for me. Like I don't care about this guy or there's people before him that have done it. Who does he think he is claiming to be the first?
Can we get off the mics real quick? Okay, sorry. I just needed to know who it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Chris wanted to know who it was, and I genuinely don't know who yeah. it is. So, sadly, I couldn't give Chris any cheese.
I had a hunch, but I
it. You know what? It could be. Who knows? Yeah, it could be that dolphin
it
noise.
It could be that dolphin noise from
but
the other episode.
You know what? Even if it wasn't, I feel like they would hold the same sentiment.
Of course.
And I'm sure there's people listening right now. They're like, that's right.
Yep.
Who does he think he is?
Yeah, who do I think I am?
But my response was like, well, who the fuck is this person? What are they doing? Uh-huh. Like, why aren't they making a name for themselves? Like, someone has to claim to be the first. Someone right. has to claim to be right. the pioneer or whatever, and I don't see anyone else's, I don't see any other 19-year-old's movie being screened at the fucking Lali Film Festival at the Chinese Theater, you know? Like,
see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the type, like, again, you don't, it's not even about the fact that you're my, that we're friends. It's just like, I don't know. I really appreciate that you, like, yes, because I agree. I didn't dwell on it, but I wondered. I'm like, I wonder if there's a, if anybody's gonna like take this in the way of like, man, this dude's really taking up a lot of credit for a lot of his and
Chris, you're taking up a lot of space right now.
Yeah, but right now what you just said about, I don't know, just kind of like throwing it like, well, if not me, then who else?
Exactly, and that's what I said. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, look, maybe Chris wasn't the first. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, whoever was the first didn't make a large enough impact or didn't assert themselves enough to be known as the first.
Yeah.
So someone has to do it. Mm. Like, and then I think I don't know if I told this to her, but I instantly thought of this video I watched that talked about how Walt Disney like spent a lot of time convincing like the audiences that he was the first, like the pioneer of animation, mm-hmm. when there was these other people that have been doing it years before him, but he like, he was pretty scummy, but he like muscled them out, and he pretty much muscled them out of the history books.
Yeah.
And not when anyone thinks of like the first animation, they probably think fucking Mickey Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, that's the first ever animation. It's like, nah, dude, there was a lot before. Just no one talks about it because fucking Walt Disney's evil ass mm-hmm. made. Sure that no one heard about those.
I want to get back on topic because this actually goes
Walt Disney. No,
this blends right into the self-esteem element of this conversation too, like perfectly.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to say, in regards to that video, the only thing I'm gonna say about it is, I made that video as if I was talking to myself. Mm-hmm. If I was talking to myself as a middle schooler, like that's how I wrote it. That's how I structured it. I wanted somebody, anybody, to just be like, "Hey, I'm from this neighborhood. I'm from your hood. I did this. I did all this stuff with it. I did it with my friends. Do it. You can do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it." So that was my honest to God intention with it. And you know, I'm very happy with how it came out and everything. But I'm not gonna lie. There's a little bit of vanity to it. I'm not gonna front either. But you know, there's just some things that you can't.
And I'll say this shit. Chris didn't have to include clips of me in that video, but he did it anyway. So that fool didn't make
this
it all about
him.
This
is why he's defending.
Yeah.
It.
No, yeah. Like, so if you're talking shit about him, you're talking shit about me. What's up? Square up, bro.
My video shoots in that video.
Chris is the first. I'm the second. Where are you, bro? No, I say that because it's like, no, you didn't have to include me. You did. So if you're saying that Chris is like making it all about him, he wouldn't have included me in it. And when someone claims to be the first to anything, there's always going to be someone being like, well, what about this 1982 Chicano that made this shitty movie?
Yeah.
It's like, he was technically the first. Like, yes. Yeah. But in this new wave of whatever the fuck me and Chris are a part of, someone started it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and fucking Bad Labor's the one, I think.
Oh, man.
But, and I'll refer to like the indie movement of the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people think like Slacker is like the first one. But there was actually a movie called Sex, Lies, and Videotape mm-hmm. before that too. Mm-hmm. That technically started it. But then you look even before that and there's all other independent fucking films before that. So it's like you choose where the beginning is. You know, there's never like one pinpoint. This movie boom started it all. For me, I would not be as motivated to do films if it wasn't for Bad Labor, because fucking Chris did the heavy lifting and he pretty much showed like, you can do it if you want. It's just going to be really fucking hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, you're right. And so like now anytime me or honestly like anybody thinks like they can't do it, be like, well, fucking 19-year-old Chris did it and that fool couldn't do shit. But he made a movie. Yeah, I gotta talk a little bit of shit to you, Chris.
No, I know.
Oh, look, Chris, I'm gonna cry.
I love you. I'm gonna give Angel a hug. You're gonna hear
it. Friendship forever. F is for friends.
It's nice to have somebody defend you every now and then.
And it ties back to the beginning of the episode where Chris just wants to be defended.
That's all I want. That's all I ask for.
I can't, dude. You are so emotional. And
this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah, anyone who's listened to the podcast or knows Chris in general knows that this dude is a softie. He just comes off as an egotistical asshole on Instagram.
Monster, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. He just comes off as this fucking, I'm the fucking best. And
oh, man. Right now, I'm kind of feeling wonky, but when I feel better, I'm going to milk the whole I did it first thing so hard, dude, on Instagram.
Dude, fucking do that shit. Be like, no one's done it. I did it first.
This is
I did it first. I did it best.
Hell yeah.
Where's your movie? Boop!
Been sitting on it for a while, son.
Dude, I remember one of the first meetings we all had. I think you asked this unnamed person, like, yeah, you asked this dolphin, like, how does it feel like to, like, make a feature or whatever? I think you said that, and then he was like, I don't know, you're the one that did it, so you tell me. And then you're like, oh, man, it's hard. Something, I don't know. I remember that, like, that little conversation happened, and I
thought he had made it. That's why.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I thought so too. It was very, very misleading. Mm. But I think he just did a scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, how do we take it back?
Well, how do we? We can. Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to ask you. I mean, we've been on me for a while.
This is a Chris episode, on a very special Chris episode.
It's a very revealing me episode, but I also do want to pay you the same respect. So,
all right, sick.
Do you have a similar experience to mine, where you have had to, like,
friendships falling out?
Yeah.
Not to the point where, like, I screamed or anything, but. I will say my friendships and relationships usually all end the same way, which is, like, in silence. Like, mostly we just, like, drift away without anyone officially saying anything to each other. And I think that says a lot about my adversity to confrontation. Like, I never want to be like, it's over. Because, like, I can't deal with that shit. That shit hurts. It hurts even thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, because I always want to be like, but maybe it's not over, and maybe we could still, like, do something.
The end question mark?
Yeah, the end question mark. It's like, we haven't spoken in 8 years, but we never officially ended it. You know, that's always in the back of my mind. Like, always just having a hard time ending something because it's so official. And so I've never had a thing where it's like, we're not friends anymore. We're done. Like,
really? You're not confrontational, but you're very open, outspoken about, like, your feelings, your thoughts. You've never had to, like, tell anybody, hey, I don't want to, like, I don't fuck with you anymore.
No, because, again, because I don't like confrontation. There's this one person that all my friends know I fucking hate to my core. And I've hated him since 9th grade. And this motherfucker still comes to all my parties, even though I don't invite him. He still comes to all, like, the social gatherings. And he knows I don't like him. And he does it on purpose. I've seen people show me texts from him saying, oh, Angel doesn't want me there, so I'm going. Stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
Because he knows that I won't be like, get out of here. Because that's not who I am. Like, I would not do that. And so, I remember once, the closest I got was sometime this year, I think. I saw him and these other the two friends I did invite and him trailing behind them. And then I just look and I, like, scream. I'm like, why did you bring him? And then my friend is like, don't worry. Like, I'll take care of him. Like, don't worry about it. Like, he's cool. And I was like, he's not cool. But thankfully, he was way too fucking high to even register that I said that. So he doesn't even know that I said that about him. But even if he did, he'd just be like, what? Or some dumb shit, you know?
And some stupid shit out of his mouth.
But I couldn't believe I said that. Like, after I said that, I was like, oh, fuck, he's pretty close. He probably heard that. Like, even though I hate his fucking guts, I still don't want to offend him for some reason. Uh-huh. I still don't want to say anything to make him feel bad.
Yeah.
And he's talked shit to me behind my back all the fucking time.
Yeah.
I remember one specific moment that someone told me. It was my friend Hugo. Actually, Hugo told me this.
Shout out.
And tying it back to like me and Chris's history, it was at the film screening that Jonathan Justin Jimenez did where our stuff was shown.
Oh, where I screened my short.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was there. I had a short that screened. Do you remember the vegan one? I think the vegan one was there.
Oh, where, yeah, where you were going to go vegan and you throw up.
Yeah, exactly. Check it out on YouTube now.
It's funny.
SlowStartStudios.com. Anyway.
SlowStartStudios.com for those who didn't read it.
Anyway, Hugo and this person are watching my short. And this person didn't know Hugo shot it. And he was just like, man, Angel fucking sucks, huh? Like, his shit is so whack and not funny. And then Hugo was like, what the fuck? Like, I worked on this with him. Like, why are you talking shit about him? Ooh. And then he was just like, he didn't care. He was just like, oh, continue talking shit about me. But then Hugo comes to me. He's like, hey, dude, this dude fucking hates you. Like, what did you do to him? I was like, wait, what do you mean? And then he tells me the story. He's like, he talks shit about you right next to me while watching your short. I was like, I don't do anything to this person. Uh-huh. But he just fucking hates me. And it's been since fucking ninth grade. I remember specifically, he would be like, why are you even still coming to school? You know you're not going to graduate. Like, stuff like that.
Jesus Christ.
Since ninth grade, this dude's been fucking, he's been one of my main sources of like, this of my drive. I just want to fucking get to this point where I have like a platform big enough to be like, fuck you, and I'll say his name like on live television. And I'll be like, suck my dick.
We're gonna pause for a second. Alright, we're back. I just want to know the specifics of the tea. That's Chris, what I want.
Chris is making the worst guesses of the night. He's like, I know who it is. I'm like, it's not this person. Okay,
back to the show.
And we're back. No, but I want, that's like, that's a fucking fantasy. And in the back of my mind, I know I shouldn't have that as like a motivator, because
of course,
you know,
yeah, you don't want
you
that.
Know, hate begets more hate, violence begets more violence, but I just fucking can't help it. He just fucking made me feel like shit for a big portion of my life.
Yeah,
and I want to fucking make that fool miserable. So
so
do
one, it.
One day, hopefully. So that whole story was just to tell you that even a person like this, I don't consider him a friend, but I would never be like, we're not friends. Because I feel like it's a cheesy thing to say.
Yeah.
So I don't say it.
Interesting.
But that fool, I hope he knows that we're not friends. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? Again, he still fucking comes to my goddamn events. He was at the fucking music video shoot.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you what. Oh my God.
He was at the
God.
Music video shoot for the Altons music video. Hopefully that sits out already. Fucking hurry the fuck up, Angel. Stupid ass.
Angel in the future.
Yeah, dumbass. But yeah, even then, like, I can't do anything. And maybe that just, it speaks a lot about me and who I am and what I can and can't do, I guess. I can't scream at someone. Even when, like, I'm sitting in the passenger seat of a girl's car and we're having this, like, kind of sort of breakup because we were never officially together. Yeah. I can't be like, why are you doing this to me? Oh my God. I just kind of, like, silently sit there and just, like, feel bad about myself. And then I'm like, well, I'm getting out of the car now. And then they'll be the person that's like, you're just gonna fucking leave like that? And then I'll be like, what the fuck you want me to do? And then like, so like, and then to be overwhelmed with emotions, just be like,
yeah.
I'm more of a quiet, stay sad and internalize everything kind of person.
You're passive.
I guess. Yeah, I just can't. Maybe someone will say like, you have a problem expressing yourself. I don't think so. I think I have a problem expressing myself in front of the person that is causing me to need to express myself. I can talk shit about everyone in front of you all day long.
Yeah.
I can be like, this fucking guy, oh my God. And I do it all the time too.
Yeah.
I'm okay with expressing how much I hate the new stupid Halloween movie. I was screaming in the Edwards parking lot.
Yeah, he definitely was.
I was fucking kicking and screaming and punching and running around. So...
Meanwhile, I was fucking baked. Like, yeah, like that was the
greatest
thing I've
ever seen. Chris couldn't even fucking form sentences. He was just his fucking tongue hanging out. Just being
popcorn in my face.
Yeah, popcorn in the palm of his hand. Just being like, that was fucking amazing. Well, time to drive home.
Yo, on some real neighbor shit, that was the hardest thing I ever did. I couldn't see a thing.
Oh my God, I couldn't see a thing, dude.
It was blurry. I'm like, okay, I think that's a street light. I think that's red. Let's stop.
I was driving behind Chris the whole time,
in just, my brand new Lexus.
Yeah, brand new 2013 Lexus. No, I'm just kidding.
2015.
Sorry. and I was just like, please, I just don't want to see this car drift into oncoming traffic. But I was ready. I was like, I'm gonna have to fucking. Even if I'm gonna dent his new Lexus, I'm gonna have to like push this food to the other side of the street or something.
But that was the hardest I ever concentrated.
But guess what? We're here now.
Yeah. So we condone risking driving.
If you
have the mentality. No, don't do it.
I had to drive from like my house to Northridge, fucking super high that one night.
Oh.
That was 45 shit. Minutes of just like, how the fuck am I gonna do it? Like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh shit, I'm here.
To the kids listening, and I know there are kids listening,
don't do
please
it.
Please don't do this.
You know, before I really started smoking, I didn't think driving high was that difficult. It's difficult as fuck. It's, you really, you can't feel your fucking feet when you're accelerating and shit. It's just dangerous.
True.
So don't do it.
I want to ask you about do you think your confrontation has anything to do with like your personal self-esteem? Like, do you feel like you're not untouchable enough to just say something to a person and not get scathed in the process?
I will say, if I had to really think about it, it probably has to do a lot with how I was raised. I was raised with an older brother and an older sister that were significantly older than me. Mm. My older brother's 12 years older than me, and my older sister is 6 years older than me. So I was never really in a position where I could talk back to anyone without getting the shit kicked out of me. So I just didn't. And my brother has anger issues and shit, so I knew kind of how to maneuver around him. Like, I knew how to talk and deal with someone so to not trigger them or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that I just took that with me my whole life. Like, I was never the person that was, like, I was never a kid that was like, oh my God, Mom, you're ruining my whole life! Screaming into pillows and stuff. I was very quiet and reserved. At least that's how I remember. My mom might have a different opinion, but
we have her right here.
Yeah. Mom! Pinche estúpido! ¿Cómo puedes decir esto? And we'll be right back. Pinche mom! No, at least from what I remember, I can't remember being like fucking like a super tantrumish kid. I don't remember fighting with my siblings too much because I never really said anything to get in trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember once, and this is a memory for some reason I still have, I remember I would say something to like my brother, and then he would answer with a comeback, and I would remember that comeback for when he would tell me. And then he would tell me what I said, I would return with his comeback, and then he'd fucking punch me. And I'm like, well, that didn't fucking work.
No.
So I was like, I guess I'll stop trying. Like, I thought I was all smart. I was like, what are you going to do with your own, when your own comeback's in your face, bro? He just fucking punched me because he's 12 years older than me. So he just fucking, what I learned, like, maybe I should just keep my mouth shut.
Mm.
And there you go.
Interesting.
I spent most of my childhood, like, playing Sega Genesis.
Oh.
I lived in the back of a house, so I never had like a front yard to play with and randomly run into like a kid my age. I spent all my time in the backyard just like fucking playing with these stray cats that like hung around my house. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
Yeah. There was like these stray cats that one day like just arrived, and I'd be like, oh, and I'd feed them ham and weenies.
I see like a little Simpsons you, like a
like a little Simpsons baby in overalls. Yeah. Like a little Bart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my mom would be like, don't feed them or they'll never leave. And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking feed these. They'll never leave my friends. And those were my first real friends. I had friends in school. I was a funny kid, so I had friends in school, but never like, hey, come back to my house, because I lived in a really shitty house for like all my childhood. So so embarrassed. I would never want anyone over.
Same. I just lived in a very Christian house, so I didn't want to bring anybody over.
Yeah. So all my friends were just stray cats. I did have a dog when I was little, but it died when I was like when I was 5 years old. But I still have memories of her. Her name is Ginger. She was like those, I don't know what they're called, but those big lion looking dogs, like the big orange ones, big fluffy orange.
Labradors
are yellow, bro.
Oh,
those fluffy orange puffy lion looking ones.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but that's what she was.
Oh, okay.
And so I remember her, and then she fucking died. And I remember being this. I'm laughing at it, but you might think this is kind of horrible. I remember coming back from picking my sister up from school, and the dog is just like laying, like on the, in our driveway, and and it's just like dead. And I was 5 years old, and I fucking ants are like all over its face.
No.
And I was just like, what the fuck, like. I was so young, I couldn't understand death. I just knew like something happened. So I didn't even cry or anything because I couldn't understand. Like my brain couldn't fucking comprehend.
Really?
Yeah, my brain couldn't comprehend that something died. But I just knew, somehow I knew like this dog's not going to be here anymore. Hmm. But I never had like a, no! I remember my fucking sister was like super sad. And my mom was sad too because she like grew up with it.
Yeah.
And so like... Yeah. I was just like, I'm gonna go. And I remember I went inside and I watched A Muppet's Christmas. Straight up. That's how vivid that memory is. I know everything about that. And I remember my cousin coming over and like trying to console me, even though I wasn't like, I was sad, but I wasn't crying. Like, I just remember I was like, things are, my 5 year old brain was like, things are gonna be different now. Life is never gonna be the same.
Wow. So rest in peace, Ginger.
Rest in peace, Ginger. Rest in peace, all those stray cats that are fucking dead now. I will say any stray cat in Belle is a descendant of that first of those first cats that I took care of. Because one of them, there was a white cat, had like maybe 6 generations of kittens, and I'm positive like any stray cats in that area are descendants of her. So I'm responsible for all the stray cats in Belle.
So. Two new things. Angel's responsible for all the strays in Belle, and friends can come in all
shapes in all and sizes and all forms of life. Wow. I live near a park too, but we're separated by a fence, so I would see all these kids play. this is all like so like metaphorical for like my whole fucking life. Like there's a fence, all these kids are playing, and I'd just be there like. For some reason, I'm like digging into all these like childhood memories.
I don't know where this is coming from. I'm just watching this unfold right before me.
I remember because I was trying to think like, what did I do for fun? I'd fucking water the grass like for like
with a hose.
Yeah, with a hose for like fun. I remember like, there's nothing else to do, and stuff like that. So friendship's important.
Wait, but tell your story about the kids.
I don't know anything about.
No, you'd look.
Well, there were just kids next to the fence. To kind of bookend this story, I didn't really have friends until...
Oh, me neither.
Like, fifth grade, maybe. When my mom went to, like, a beauty school, she became friends with a lady who had a kid my age. Mm-hmm. Then he'd come over, and I think I told you the story. He invited me to his house, and then one day, like, he was like, hey, Fernando, come outside and play. And then he's like, oh, like, those are all my friends that live around the neighborhood. Let me introduce you. And there's fucking Moises Lopez, his brother Abel, fucking my friend Tito that I've known since, like, first grade, my friend Ramiro, fucking Pee-wee, David, Michael, Joel Ramirez, fucking all the friends that... would like make me who I am throughout my adolescence. Like I met all on the same day, and they were just like this gang of kids. They were like the Goonies of fucking Belle, pretty much. And I was like, whoa, these are my friends now. And they were all a lot older than me, besides Moy. So like I got exposed to a lot of terrible shit.
Well, I'd like to. That's really poetic. I like to bookend my thread too with something that my I didn't have true friends till. End of seventh grade, beginning of eighth grade, and that was when my parents got divorced. And when my parents were going through a divorce, another kind of like casual friend of mine's parents had like gone through a messy divorce at the same time. And as we talked about our parents' divorces, we realized, oh shit, like our dads are both Salvadorian, our parents got married on the same day, and they pretty much split up around the same time. And that's how I met now my former best friend Eduardo Angeles. And my mom, when I told my mom about this friend, she was really moved, and she wrote a letter to Eduardo's mom. And I remember I handed it to Eduardo. Eduardo gave it to his mom. The mom like cried, and then for all of eighth grade, like that's how our friendship was built. We Point is, our moms are friends, and then we became friends in the process, and we would hang out. We would hang out every day because the moms would console each other about their breakups, and we would just hang out and talk about Star Wars.
And a similar thing to how Chris's friendships ended. A lot of my friends, since they were older, they're like in completely different places in life now, and I hardly talk to anybody of those friends anymore. But I think we can all, I think we can both agree that like those friendships shaped us into who we are, regardless of if we wanted them to or not. Like, they were a big part of who we are, and I guess we are who we surround ourselves with. Mm-hmm. And regardless of if your friendships end or continue, I think you'll know when they're important, whether in the moment or in the future. You'll look back and realize how important those friendships were. And don't take them for granted.
And even if they fizz out, don't ever regret.
They end super ugly.
Yeah.
You know,
they just meant something at some point, and they did shape you.
You were supposed to have them for a reason.
Yeah.
And you are who you are now because of them.
Yeah, exactly. So I really treasure those memories, and I'll see the videos, and it's like, I'm really glad that I got to make that happen.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break, like always. We're going to take a breather, maybe cry it out, hug it out, I don't know. And we'll be back with our usual ending segment.
What's with us in these heavy-ass episodes, bro?
See, I didn't expect it to get like this.
Me neither. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a doozy.
I think the biggest doozy.
How do you feel, Chris?
That was the biggest doozy. I feel a lot better now. I ate.
You know, he ate some little pollo loco. We little crazy shit.
Some cold pollo loco, just how I like it. Moist.
Mashed potatoes.
Rice and beans.
Oh.
And we drove a little bit. We drove our guest, our silent guest home.
Yeah, which you will not find out until a future episode, probably. Yeah, we took a drive to downtown LA. Mm-hmm.
Chilled.
We talked about a lot of weird shit. We talked about Florida.
Yeah, I would like to Gators. I would like to also point out that at this point in our timeline, we're right about to go to San Francisco altogether.
Oh yeah, for a little something something that you podcast listeners will see next week when this releases. Probably, or maybe it was the week before. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But either it's come out or it's going to come out. You'll see.
You're usually on spot with these.
I usually am.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's pretty much all we can say. You'll see, but we promise you it's going to be fucking awesome. And me and Chris don't even know how, like, we know it's going to be great, but honestly, we can't even begin to imagine how great it could possibly be. There's so much that can happen.
How historic, this weekend. Yeah.
And we're hyping it up, but it deserves all the fucking hype.
Hell yeah.
So this is exciting. We're going to record this episode. And as always, you know what happens in this segment.
Mm-hmm.
I always say it. We let our hair down. We chill out. We relax. And we give everybody some recommendations.
Before we do, you know, it's funny. Right now when you said we let our hair down, I like picked my hair up and I let it fall. And as it fell, I'm like, yo, when we started this, I had like a short ass haircut.
You fucking did.
And like you had,
I had blonde hair still, maybe.
Yes,
yeah, I did. I
yes,
did have blonde,
did
hair.
Have blonde hair.
And then
I don't think you had shaved the sides.
No.
What
and
the
then hell? I went silver, and then now it's like faded as silver.
Yeah,
it looks stupid. Only the tips, and then I have like brown all over.
Angel and I, again, we'll get into the recommendations in a sec, but we were kind of talking about just like what we've been able to do with the show because we're kind of nearing the end of our season here, and I don't know. I think it's kind of special that Angel, I think, just encapsulated it best when he said, this first season was like the 2018, was our 2018 experience. Like everything you hear, of course, me talking about my ex, like fucking talking about the music videos, Instant Crush, Bad Labor, all
literally
that shit.
Literally like everything that we've done and experienced in 2018 and a little bit of like the end of 2017 is on these first 20 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's just so amazing how much of us wink. How much of us is in these? I mean, yes, we're the host, but every time I re-listen to an old episode, like, I don't want to get too much into it. I'll save it for the final episode. Mm-hmm, but it's just like, we put so much of ourselves out there. Yeah. And it's amazing that we have a little time capsule, which is what we wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah, and it's going to be special revisiting this and being like, shit, I was talking about this. Damn, I forgot about that. Oh, like, remember, Chris, when you used to say guys all the time?
Or when you said that joke, I don't want to repeat.
Or when you condone bullying.
Oh, yeah. And then you're like, I still do.
My son gets it.
Exactly. I
cheer them on. Anyway.
But yeah, let's jump right into these recommendations. Chris, start us off.
Well, yesterday was a special. Again, I'd like to also highlight where we are in our timeline. Yesterday, I want to say we got to see the final cut of I'll Be Around.
Yeah. Uncolored, but final cut.
The final cut of Angel's incredible music video. Your debut music video?
Yeah.
Angel's incredible debut music video. I'll Be Around.
First directed music video. I showed you the music video I edited.
Right.
That no one will ever see.
But yeah, you got to edit that here in my room, and Jonathan Justin Jimenez, of course, the unofficial the Us Podcast intern came over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his title. Yeah, asshole, that's your title now.
It beat shut up, poop. yeah, so they were editing it here, and it was just really nice to see it come together finally, and you know, watch being behind Jonathan and Angel argue over fonts and shit. Dude, and
Justin is the fucking worst, because you can't have both of us on a computer because we both want the keyboard and we can't both have the keyboard. That shit was so frustrating.
Yeah, so meanwhile, while they're fucking arguing and shit, and while we get to literally watch... I get to have his history happen in my room with Angel, like, putting together his first music video. I whipped out my... not my penis, my my record player. I whipped out my record player. I pulled out some vinyls, and I found this one that I had bought a long time ago, but this was before I was a cultured man, so it's this album called the... Tequila Mockingbird by Ramsey Lewis. I remember when I bought it, I was just really... I liked the title. And I was like, ooh, this like fun party music. I'm like, oh, no, it's jazz.
Me.
I don't like jazz.
If it's not sang by Ryan Gosling, I don't like it.
If it's not Julian Casablancas, I hate it. No, and we played it. We played it on my record player, and it was fucking awesome. It was like a revelation. It's like, oh shit! And even Justin was like, hey, dude, what is that?
Yeah, dude, track after track, it was nothing but jazz bangers.
And I realized not only am I now, have I become Ryan Gosling and La La Land, yeah. I've also become Barry B. Benson.
Yeah, I like jazz now.
You like jazz?
Yeah, Chris is a jazz head now. He's like, you know, the people don't understand jazz. It's different every time you watch it.
Yeah, you know, they're arguing with each other basically with their instruments. One guy takes over. La La Land reference. Yeah, so it was really fun, and it's a great album. Just the song, again, it's all instrumental, but it's just really loungy and fun, and just... I was singing over them, and
it was great.
It was a great time, and it was a nice little soundtrack to like our evening. Yeah. So listen to that when you're just trying to like just you know, cool off, relax. Like it's literally like you don't. Some music just kind of requires a lot out of you, like you know, to think about it or to enjoy it or like sing along. But this is just like just listen and feel it. So I'm gonna throw it back to you. That's my first recommendation.
I love it. I'm gonna
2018 reference.
Dang, I'm gonna recommend an album too. Ooh. Which I just listened to, and this is gonna be probably another addition to like the narrative element of the podcast. I listened to an album called Bad Bones by Michael Sayer.
Ooh.
And it was fucking awesome. Like I loved how I felt listening to it. Michael Sayer, like through that album, just listening to that album. Seems like a very, self-conscious person. A person that like isn't very comfortable with who he is, and he makes this very like kind of vulnerable music. He has a very soft voice, and the music is very just like very relaxing. And he says a lot of really intimate stuff in this album.
Yeah,
but he says it in a very like. He's not in your face about it. It almost seems like he's too shy to say the things he's saying, but he's saying them anyway. Like that's just like that was my initial reaction listening to it.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's very nice music, and I listen to it while I walk, like from class to class, from my dorm to class, and it's just like I listen to it and I could see it, like his music in movies. Like,
oh wow,
yeah, I can definitely see it.
I have a couple songs, but I just downloaded the whole album.
Yeah, Bad Bones, awesome. Michael Sayer, fucking dig it. He just released a music video for his song called "I Feel Best When I'm Alone."
Okay,
that song. And every song. I will say my favorite song.
Shocker. That one resonated with Angel the most.
Yeah. I wonder why. I fucking love. I mean, the title. The titular track, Bad Bones. Fucking amazing. But I would say my favorite is called Lucky Love.
Ooh.
So check it out. Check out that whole album. It's fantastic. Michael Sayer, you're a cool guy. And I actually. I talked to him and I stood next to him at Viva Pomona while we watched Omar Apollo play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, check that out. Fun fact. I was like, hey, Michael. Hey, you're Michael Sayer. And he's like, yeah. I was like, you play music with my friend John. He's like, oh, shit. You know John Rivera? I was like, yeah. He's like friends of my friends are from the same neighborhood. And I know you play music with him. And I just want to say hi. He's like, cool, man. And now he's got green hair.
Looks yeah. cool. And now Omar Apollo's got red hair.
Yeah. And now, and hopefully Katsu also has that.
Was he gonna do pink or something?
No, he's gonna do like violet. No, not violet. Light purple. I forgot the name of it. Yeah. Lavender.
Yeah,
lavender hair. Lavender. So hopefully he does that. But Michael Sayer also likes anime, and so does Omar Apollo. So.
Damn, I know Omar Apollo was a virgin either. I love you, baby. I can be your first.
And yeah, recommendation: Bad Bones, Michael Sayer.
Sick.
Oh my god!
We saw a movie this past week.
It was a movie, I guess. It was in theaters.
It's called Halloween, the sequel to Halloween.
Oh my god.
And this song in the movie is fucking awesome.
It's a good song. But.
But Angel didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
I had a great time. Of course, you know, it's a sequel. I don't go to these horror movie sequels. I go to horror movies for stories, not horror movie sequels. But as far as sequels go, it's definitely, it's fun. It's a nice little homage. And it's just a fun theater-going experience. Granted, the first time I saw it, I was baked out of my mind.
Chris was fucking melting in his seat. Like, straight melting. Up. He was fucking melting.
I was so gone, but I went the next day to watch it again. I took my two brothers, and we just had a fucking blast because we've been such huge fans. Like, I never watched Halloween before. I'd never seen any of the movies just because I had no... For one, first, it started because I was a kid and I was terrified. Second, it's because I didn't have any interest in horror movies back then. But when I was making Bad Labor, I was just gravitating toward all the people who made all these, like, low-budget movies that just became these fucking, like, monster properties. And Halloween was one of them. So I've been a fan ever since, and so watching this, it was just nice to see that they had it wasn't such a fan service-y movie. It was just like, it was a sequel that served its purpose. You know, obviously, there's a couple plot holes here and there, you know, if you really, like, dig deep into it, but other than that, it's simple, which I really enjoyed it. It wasn't too convoluted. It wasn't like, he's back because there's a spirit, and, you know, he's got an agenda to make or whatever.
He's in space!
And there was no, like... political anything, like, you know, oh, he's gonna make Halloween great again, like fucking horror movies are doing nowadays. It's just a simple movie. Guy with a knife just kills just because he can kill and he's pure evil. And I had a great time. Angel fucking hated it. I
fucking hated it, but I'm gonna reserve all my criticisms because me and Chris have an idea for a future episode that involves this movie and my personal favorite Halloween, Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Jesus Christ.
And it's going to be some fun time.
It'll be the sequel to our La La Land versus Rogue One.
Yeah, episode. Exactly. I will say that the movie was a piece of shit.
Here I am thinking he's going to like, yeah, okay, it was all right. But no. I'm going to say, and then he folds his fingers. Like, it was a piece of shit.
Like, that's all I'll say. There's a lot to unpack in that sentence, but I'll leave you with that. That's what I think wholeheartedly. This movie was a piece of shit.
If I can quote Angel, he said, if you enjoy this movie, that means you enjoy Transformers
and
movies.
And I fucking stand by that. 100%. It's the same fucking audience.
No. Throw it back to you.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about a movie that I think influenced me a lot in my high school life when I first saw it. My brother had this like CD case folder full of bootleg DVDs that he bought from like a guy that would burn DVDs at his work.
Yeah.
And he'd buy them. And he's like, watch this. So the like little backstory. My brother was like a huge influence on like movies that I would watch that weren't like fucking Hollywood blockbuster, like the most popular movie out there. He's the one that showed me Reservoir Dogs for the first time.
Wow. He liked indies and shit.
Yeah, he had good taste in movies. Wow. Like he showed me that. He showed me like fucking Old Boy. He showed me like all these movies. And one of the movies that he told me to watch, he showed me Boondock Saints. One of the movies that he told me to watch, he gave me this blank DVD with Sharpie. It said SLC Punk, and I was like, I fucking put that shit on. Opening scene is these two rednecks taking a piss like into a river or something. Then these two guys come out of nowhere, start beating them with fucking steel pipes, and then the fucking it fucking freeze frames. And then like the narrator says something about like rednecks are the epitome of like America. They're America incarnate, and America, well, fuck America. And then it cuts to the opening credits, and it's this song that's like, sex and violence! Sex and violence! Sex and violence! And that's the whole fucking song.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there, my fucking, it's like that scene in Scott Pilgrim where Knives Chow is watching Sex Bomb play for the first time. And the fucking
living room's just expanding.
Yeah, the living room's expanding, her fucking eyes are just big, and like, it's like anime eyes, and you're just like completely entranced. And I was like, I'm fucking in 100% for this movie.
Nice.
And what you get is this movie about punks in Salt Lake City, Utah, living in the most like unpunk environment possible, and dealing with not only like the people that don't like them as punks, but also like posers. And it just feels like they're these two guys against the whole world. Fucking Steve-O and not Steve-O the actor. Steve-O's the main character.
Oh.
Steve-O's the main character, and Heroin Bob. And they're just fucking living life, and the whole movie is just about like figuring out who you are and how sometimes, even if you know who you are, sometimes you're wrong.
Hmm.
And I was like, what? It was a concept that I was never exposed to before that movie.
Yeah.
Like a movie that feels so like they know exactly what they want to do, and the main character is so convinced on who they are, and then for all that to just start breaking away, and the main character starts questioning like everything about who he is and what he makes his life of, fucking blew my mind. As I was probably a junior in high school, and I was just like, holy fuck, maybe I don't know who I am. Maybe what I am now isn't necessarily who I'm going to be in the future.
Yeah.
These are the first time these concepts like came into my life, and I fucking love that movie to death, and it's probably my top 10 favorite movies of all time, and it's fucking amazing, and I cannot recommend it enough. SLC Punk. Don't watch SLC Punk 2. That is one of the worst movies of all time, and I cannot wait to talk about it one day.
I'm sure we will. You know, I was going to talk about mid-90s next, which we Angel and I went to
see. Yeah, we both saw it. Jonah Hill, cool guy.
Great. Good movie. Really great movie. I definitely would recommend, but we had a conversation when we were on our way to downtown that I kind of want to just really quickly talk about my love for just the Lord of the Rings franchise.
Oh, yes! Oh, my God.
It won't be long because this is kind of taking a while. But I love that. I think it's interesting that Angel says, because he referenced early in the episode how he didn't have a lot of friends. He hung out with cats and shit.
I did. Thanks for bringing that up all the time. Like, constantly now.
No, but I it's funny. These themes are so fucking insane. Like the reason you Angel also kept telling me, he's like, it's just so weird to me because you don't seem like the guy who would like fucking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
because
he makes fun of my love for anime, and this was fucking sitting there, fucking
knee deep, hobbits.
Yeah, with fucking
in the Shire.
Fucking balls deep in the Shire.
I'm over at the Prancing Pony. But I wanted to bring this up because it's funny. I didn't have friends either, dude. Like, fucking, I mean, if you think I'm fucking unbearable now, you should have seen me back then. I was just straight up weird, and like, people did not fuck with me whatsoever. And all I had back then, it's even funny how I got introduced to Lord of the Rings. I got to watch Lord of the Rings only because VeggieTales did a parody of it called Lord of the Beans.
What?
So my parents thought, okay, well, if the VeggieTales people saw it, then that means it can't be that bad. So they let me rent them from my video store, and dude, like, I fell in love. And you know, everybody makes fun of the Sam and Frodo gay thing, but
yep.
I remember when I saw that, especially to see how like committed Sam was to Frodo as a friend, I just thought, like, dude, like, fuck, where's a friend like that?
Yeah.
Like, where's a friend that
Where's my Sam?
Like, where's the friend that's like, can't swim for shit, but will chase after you as you're rowing away on a boat just because he made a commitment to protect you while you had this fucking burden to bear. And that scene in the first movie always fucks me up, and I quote it with Angel all the time. It fucks me up so much because just like, I remember the last time I saw it too, I bawled, and that scene always gets me. Like, if I want to make myself cry, I put that scene on YouTube, and I can watch it out of context, and it still gets me because the effect, like, if it has this effect on me as a 22-year-old man, fucking, can you imagine how much it fucked me up when I was 8 years old, friendless, and I'm just watching this movie alone in my living room because my parents got bored halfway, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just watching this beautiful friendship unfold, and I'm thinking, like, fuck, not only do I want to make movies with this type of impact, but I want a friend like this. And I don't want to go back to the topic too much, but, you know, I had a friend like that. And I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful that I have friends like that. But, you know, sometimes your Samwise Gamgee won't always be the same person forever. Mm-hmm. And this is really...
Dang, that's the nerdiest shit you've ever said.
Wait for this. And even though my friendship with this particular person, you know, my old Samwise is over, I'm happy to say that I feel grateful and lucky. I feel lucky that I get to do a show with my real Samwise Gamgee right here, Angel Salinas.
Oh my god.
Because for as much as he dogs on me, for as much as he likes to call me out, I know, like, when shit gets real, I know, like, I don't even think he realized, but like, I know he'd be there. I know he'd fucking like pull out all stops just to.
So he thinks.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm this guy. But I really felt like this whole year has been such a revelatory of new experiences, and that's hugely in part to Jonathan, Justin Jimenez, and Angel, because they've just been exposing me to great music, fucking bands, and so thank you, man. Like, thank you for even suggesting to this podcast. And
thanks for not letting my idea of making a podcast stay an idea and actually fucking being like, I got the fucking mics, let's do it.
Yeah,
literally giving me no choice.
Yeah,
gay.
This is Angel's first mistake.
I didn't say that.
Oh my god!
What are you talking about?
That you know that wasn't.
If y'all hear something, that was Chris taking something out of context and putting it.
I'm holding a title card and Angel's reading it. Gay?
No!
I'm like, no. That's okay. So watch Lord of the Rings. It's fucking amazing. I'm gonna watch it before Christmas for sure, so I can cry.
Aww. So I have something to recommend that's, I think, equally as nerdy as Lord of the Rings.
It's not anime, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is. And this is a deep cut for people, for anime fans. And it's, in my opinion, and a lot of anime people's opinion, you are not a true anime fan until you experience this series. And that series is called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh.
And it's fucking amazing. And I cannot even begin to talk about this series. It is so heavy, so insane. It's fucking wild. But I will tell you this. Amongst the anime community, there's a saying that says, the people that don't like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure are people that haven't seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Mm.
It's that fucking good. So this series is about a family. A family called the Joestars. And it spans fucking years and years and years. But there's always one main character called JoJo. in the first season, it's his name's Jonathan Joestar. And then we see his grandson in season two, Joseph Joestar. And then we see his son in the neck in the oh no, then we see his nephew, Jotaro. And stuff like that. So it spans, it's like this big long family drama that just spans fucking years and years, but it's all about fucking weird mythical shit. There's vampires in it. There's fucking these like spirit ghosts that fight for you. I can't it's so fucking crazy that you just have to experience it for yourself. And it's one of the best experiences I've ever had watching an anime. Wow. It was so much fun, so funny, and it fucking makes you cry sometimes. Oh. And it's fucking fantastic. And I was so glad, because I've always heard about it. You gotta watch JoJo's. You gotta watch JoJo's. And I was like, fuck, it's such a commitment. There's so many episodes. But once you get into it, you realize why. Everyone says, go watch JoJo's. So if you like anime, and you haven't, and if even if you don't like anime, I would not suggest starting JoJo's. Because it is a very anime.
It sounds dense.
Yeah, start with like a... Start with a fucking a gateway anime like Death Note or Fullmetal Alchemist or something like that.
That was my gateway.
No, don't watch Code Lyoko. That's why Chris doesn't like anime.
Yeah, that was my only.
But yeah, find a gateway anime. We'll have a whole episode on anime one day, hopefully.
I will be on that episode.
You will have a special guest.
Yeah, we'll have a special guest for that one.
But I'll if you want to dive into it, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. That's all I'm going to say. Watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And the creator of JoJo's, he's so weird. He names almost all his characters after, like, bands and musicians. So there's, like the main villain, his name's Dio. And then there's, like, Wamu after Wham. Mm. And then Cars after the band Cars. Mm. And then there's, like, REO Speedwagon.
Like Bono? Yeah,
probably. Like, there's REO Speedwagon. There's, like... He doesn't even fucking REO Speedwagon. Stuff like that.
That's cool.
I love it. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. JoJo's fantastic. Bizarre
Adventure. Great recommendations this week.
Fuck yeah.
And I know that these times are kind of running long, but guys, folks. Ooh, guys, folks, women.
A little bit of old Chris came out.
Yeah. We are nearing the end of this season.
Yep.
And Angel and I, we just kind of discussed like our plan of how we're going to continue, because we want to do this for as long as we can milk it. No, but as long as we can.
Let's get them big bucks.
So we kind of decided on like a pretty healthy and like really interesting way to go about it. So this like, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like, I don't know. Just enjoy us while you have us.
Yeah. That's all we're saying. And with that, another episode comes to an end.
We shut the book.
Friendship lasts forever. This is just a song I'm making up.
Oh, I thought it was like a theme song to something.
No, I wish. I was trying to think of like a song. Oh, I guess we'll end it with the song that we forgot to start it with. Oh, what? Huh?
Uh-huh.
What?
What? Angel looks genuinely confused.
What?
Huh? Can this song just go to the fucking chorus already? I'm waiting it out as much as I can.
Anyway. Oh!
How many of us have them?
I've never heard this song before.
No?
No. Well, let's listen to the song as I do this outro. Thanks, everybody, for coming to another episode of the Us Podcast. As always, my name is Angel Salinas.
And I'm Chris Camona, here to rock your boat. And
here! Here, here! See ya!
Bye!
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram, at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at @AngelISalinas_.
And you can follow me at the Chris Carmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Please.
Please. All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.